Hi everyone, welcome back to Window Chats with Robin, the Instagram Live podcast where I sit by my window and chat with very interesting people. Today's guest is Tracy Beltrano, and already we've had tech issues, so who isn't excited for this chat? I mean, something already went wrong. Maybe other things will go wrong. Will this even record? Tracy, so many unknown variables. Let's see if this works this time. I'm excited. I'm feeling it. Here we go. Gonna invite you to join and it's gonna work. Something about manifesting. That's what all these kids are saying these days, right? Maybe. Okay, try again. Here we go. Okay. Oh, it's never taken this long in a while. What is happening? Instagram, you're killing me. Ay vey, as my people say. Okay, thank you, Jay. I appreciate this. You feel my pain. Okay, yes. Check your permission. I like that. Get consent from the Instagram. I'll chill here, talk to myself. This will be part of the live. Oh, I haven't had a good self-talk in a while. How you doing, Robin? I'm okay. Yes, thank you, Jay. Instagram has been annoying. My last chat did not save. It was so frustrating because people are giving me their time and they're sharing great stories. Oh my God, Tracy, it says you're not able to join. Que pasa? You were so good with the instructions. I don't even know if I used that correctly. Okay. I'm going to message you. We're going to figure this out. Let's try for take three. Okay, wait, unless it worked. Did it? No? No, maybe one more time. Third time's a charm. Maybe. Let's try one more time. Okay, I'm gonna take it offline. Oh my God, Tracy! Wah! It worked. Wah! Terrifying. Oh my yep. God. I was giving up.
Never give up. I have a key, Robin. Don't tell your people to put do not disturb on before they join. Just so you know.
Thank you. I've had these instructions. You're the first person to tell me. You finally, now I'm calling on my guests. I'm not reading my instructions. So Tracy, like episode 97 here. Okay. Like what's going on, people? And Tracy, apologies, but we recorded the whole prelogue. So.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So that's something fun to listen to. Watch yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Not the first, this is the second take. And that's perfect. Why we have more than one take in acting and scene. Okay.
Lord knows I use them.
did you believe that we were struggling? Did you believe that? Because we planned this. This was totally planned. Sure.
Hi, Rose. That's my cousin, Rose. Hi, Rose. Nice to see you.
This is, have you ever done, yeah, the comments are delayed sometimes if they say hi, so that's also fun.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So we can be talking about, I don't know, pizza, and then you'll see someone say hi or comment on something, and you go, oh, let's revert.
Sometimes people mull things over.
That's true.
You know? Should I turn on do not disturb now? I'm going to do that just in case. Because, you know, I'm super disturbed. I'm like, oh gosh, I'll probably get a phone call from the vet or something. Cause my kitty cat is, I don't know, can you see her around here?
Oh no, hello.
She's there. Her name's Tula.
Tula. Do I have to ask your cat's pronoun?
No.
I don't think we've gone that far yet. Okay.
No, she's just a sentient being.
Oh, fancy.
Yes. Yes. Oh, wait. Tell me, what's going on? How have you been? This is season 5 for you.
It is. I know.
Congratulations. That's a lot of interviews. Buddy, I went to your page and I'm like, wow, you interviewed a lot of people and like a lot of great people. So I was like kind of watching little snippets here and there and it was really impressive. So congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I'm always grateful for people for wanting to chat, right? You're taking time out of your day. We're having a conversation and I'm grateful for that. That's kind of what kept this going. People saying yes.
I appreciate the practice. Yeah. I'm very rarely interviewed, so the practice is very appreciated. So thank you for that.
The practice is needed though, because when I'm on the opposite end and I have to be interviewed, I go, why are you asking me questions? I get suspicious. You know, why do you want to know this? Are you trying to break into my security bank area? I don't know. Are you trying to find out a password of mine? I don't trust it. Where I grew up? I don't think so. Not telling me that name, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, actually, you're right. There's a lot of questions that could be incriminating in terms of like security and stuff. Yeah, no, wow. I'm usually like the suspicious one, but that never even occurred to me. And I just told you my cat's name.
Uh-oh. Like all the money disappears from your bank account.
Oh, yeah, all that money, especially after COVID.
Oh, you know, that's when the artists really thrived, I think.
Oh, you know? Yeah, I was rocking it during COVID. How did you do during COVID?
I was going to ask you, I saw you during the Super Bowl commercial, young lady, getting your little face on there. I'm like, I know someone. That was exciting. Thank you for having a commercial in the Super Bowl so I could know someone in a commercial in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I am totally going to go with that story that it was a Super Bowl commercial and not just a Canadian network streaming the Super Bowl, which happened to show my commercial. But let's go with that. It was a Super Bowl commercial. Absolutely. And the bank account to prove it. 100%.
But here's the thing that I try to explain to people, because I had a commercial that I did 2 years ago and it's on CP24 now. And people get upset at me. They go, why didn't you tell me it would be on? I say, guys, I didn't even know this was going to make the final cut. I legitimately, because no one knows when your commercial is going to air. This isn't a conversation you have with production. I'm just letting everyone know. We're putting it on tomorrow. Get excited at 9 o'clock, at 9:32. So just stay tuned. Very specific.
We're not at that juncture in our career where we can have like a rider that says must be aired during peak hours this many times.
But I get excited when I see people. I go, oh, peak hours. And my friends are getting, I'm like, oh, people are watching. People are seeing your face. Look at you.
Yeah. It's, and do you find, I mean, it might just be me and like some warped sense of like my own, like what I perceive myself to look like. But when I watch myself in commercials, I'm like, is that me for real though? Cause like, it doesn't ever look like me. It looks like definitely some superimposed idea of me. And I'm just like, when can I just be me?
I agree, because I know for certain things I go, I know what I did there, and you took out the essence of me and you got what you needed, and that's fine.
Like, I understand. We understand that. We get it. Like, we get the reasons why that happens. It's just like, I just don't feel like look like myself. And then because I don't feel or look like myself, I feel like my body doesn't really know what to do. Like, look at me now. Like, I'm super animated and this is just really who I am. But obviously it's like super big and camera's like, whoa, calm the hell down. We're in a close up, you know? But it's just like,
what do you mean? Somebody... Everyone wants to be theatrical on the camera. You can keep moving, right?
That's... Theatrical, Italian, you decide.
You gotta yell. You gotta make sure you really.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the best performance would come out of me if I was able to just like do that. You know, I'm like, just like, can't you like do something in post where you mute me down a bit or just.
Well, think how animated your face would be for us. Silent on camera, get you to you do something and you're just like animated.
Yes. Do you feel like acting classes, as amazing as they are, and there's some really great classes in Toronto for on-camera work, do you find that, like, after you're done a class, you're kind of stuck in your head about things that should not matter? Like, oh, don't use your eyebrows, don't blink, breathe, like, don't move a lot, you know? Like, doesn't that stuff just, like, mess you up?
I mean, the problem is I'm always in my head. So I will always find something to nitpick and tell myself not to do when I'm auditioning or recording a self-tape, which is the worst. Because when I tell myself not to do something, that's all I'm going to do, right?
Yeah, you're not alone though, Robin. That's like, worst. I think that a lot of people go through that. I don't think, it's a horrible feeling because it's like you need 6 or 7 takes to get that out of your system. And then you're almost like at this really raw and fatigued place where you're finally able to just be. And I guess that's why teachers tell us to warm up. But like when you go to an audition in the flesh and you're waiting in a holding room and there's lots of people, like you don't want to be a nuisance in the corner, like rehearsing out loud or warming up and doing.
You know what? What if we started doing that? I thought of that the other day. I thought, you know what?
What if I started doing some weird face yoga exercises and just like everyone's, whoa, this girl knows her craft, you know, no matter what. Like,
intimidation.
Like, did you not see what she was doing out there? Like, yeah, maybe it wasn't a good audition, but she's a pro. She was doing stuff with her face that I've never seen before.
Yeah, I mean, like, can you fault somebody for, like, wanting to go in with their best foot forward? Like, I can't. The only thing that does bother me is the loudness. So if you could keep it contained and private, then I'm like, do it, man. Like, we're not robots. We're human flesh and bones and heart and feeling. And we do need, like, sometimes we go to an audition and we haven't spoken to anyone all day. This is nothing new, right? But like, you haven't spoken to somebody all day and then you're supposed to like go and perform, and it's difficult. So I don't know, actors out there, if anybody's watching this or will watch this later, I highly recommend you definitely warm up and take your space and be private and quiet, but take your space and take your time and do it, man. Like, if it's going to give you a good audition, then I say go for it, you know?
This just makes me feel, I had a conversation with this fascinating woman the other day, and we were just discussing, like, why do we feel the need to not take up space? And why do we always feel the need to apologize for things that we shouldn't have to apologize for? And then I got into a whole, like, is this a woman thing? Is this a Canadian thing? It was a very, very deep discussion. So, it got me thinking. You know, like,
yeah,
do we feel the need to apologize for doing what we have to do to warm up before an audition? Or, yeah, like, do we feel the need to apologize if we're not taking what we learned from a class that we're still stuck in our head, but it's not resonating with us, but we feel bad letting it go? Because, yes, first, I paid for a class, but also maybe the instructor knows more than me and I'm just being innerly critical. So there's so many different thoughts going on inside, at least in my head.
No, that's a common theme, a common theme. Like, it's a common theme for a reason. I think that's absolutely something a lot of people struggle with. And you touched on a point about like going to classes and not always having it resonate or sit with you and it doesn't work for you. And oh my God, I think I've been to more classes than not where I have felt that way. Right. And again, like, there's nothing wrong with those classes. It's just the way I work and the way I work best based on my life experience. And, you know, like, I started as a dancer. And
I did not know that.
Okay. Yeah, like at the age of 3 till the age of 16, I was a dancer, competitive dancer. And I really feel that dictates a lot of how I approach, you know, especially theatrical work, because I feel like I work from the outside in. I was taught to watch and to mimic what my dance teacher taught and then to perfect it technically so that I can feel through it.
Yeah.
So I work very much outside in. So when I go to a class where it's like, hey, we're really going to get to the feelings, I'm like, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Like, I need to find the quirks of this character's physical being. And like, I really work a different way. And I'm positive any actor watching this would be like, yeah, like, obviously, we're not going to go straight to the emotion. But there are some people who teach that way, or there are people that teach almost too technically, where it's like, now you've taken out room for organic things to happen because you've laid such parameters that it's almost impossible to allow naturalism back in. So I don't know. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that sometimes?
Well, as soon as you started saying the whole watching and mirroring, and I thought, oh my God, that's exactly the pattern I would get into all the time because of dance class or whatnot growing up. I would watch, I would learn, and then add my own little style to it. And I never, that's the thing, I never realized, because I struggle with internalizing and feeling, because first off, I don't like it, but you know, it's important to feel.
It's then, a really know, vulnerable
like
a thing.
Really, exactly. And then you have like a random breakdown. You go, why am I crying over this? It's weird. It's because I need to feel more. But I think that's so interesting when you say coming from that dance background, because I see that, right? That's what you're taught to do. And that's the training that you've had. And I think that's why there's so many different studios out there, because everyone's coming from a different place, right? And
agreed.
There's so many, like, different things can work for different people, and that there is no right or wrong. I think the only time it's wrong is when someone is made to feel little or just really put down, because I've heard of the stories where people legitimately want to bring you down and build you up to be who they want you to be. And I don't think that's healthy. And that's just not okay for me. Yeah.
There was definitely a time in acting, and I was partial to that myself in school days. I enjoyed it. It worked for me. Again, why did it work for me? Because I come from an Italian background where we speak our very honest, brutal truths to each other and forgive later, you know, because it's about cutting to the chase, getting to the root of the problem, working through it and moving on. And that's not for everybody. And I get why. Like when I watch it from the outside looking in, I'm like, wow, that's really abusive. You know, like it's aggressive and really forward. But for me, I needed that because I didn't want to, I felt like I never had time to waste. I felt like I was going to be in, I studied in New York and I knew I was only going to be there for a finite amount of time. There was no guarantees how long I would be there. Right. So I felt like I appreciated, and it was expensive, you know, and I'm like, every minute I was there was a lot of money. So I appreciated the directness because I didn't have time for anybody to fluff me up and then be like, what if, and I'm like, no, just tell me what to do. Tell me what I need to work on. And like coming from that dance background, I realized I don't know how to like move my body as Tracy. I'm so used to being choreographed from such a young age when you start building who you are and like all things that happen naturally for kids who aren't in extreme movement based sort of extracurricular activities. Like I was told from a very young age how to move and it was very regimented. So when I was in acting school for the first time and they're like, relax, like move your body. I was like standing in first position, like proper posture and like not right. Not every character stands like proper posture. Yeah. And so it, I appreciated the directness to get through all that. I didn't have time to wait around for somebody to fluff me up, you know? So I don't know.
It does. You know, it's, but that's interesting too, because there are times when, cause I watch people self tapes and I go, and then I start talking to them and they're not here to hear me talk to them. But I'm like, I wish someone would just say, do this. Because I do think a lot of people can act and they just don't know how to do a self tape or an audition. And I'm very guilty of that. You know what I mean? I go, I see someone.
I do know what you mean.
Go, what the?
Like, yeah.
I almost want to apologize for past Robin. Like,
I'm sorry. I don't have any common sense here today. Please. I like, you did you want me to sit down?
Did you want me to be a human? Cause that is not human. But I thought, you know, it's a choice. That's, you're not looking for a human.
We're always looking for the choice no one else made. But I feel like, no, they want you all to make the same choice. It's just like, who is the right look, really? Especially for commercials, right? It's like it always ends up being this most pared down version of what you anticipated it in your head to be. And I'm like, wow, I really overthought that. You know, I really overthought that.
There's this one, and I always think of this one. Because I get weird with eating on a camera. Like, I don't know what normal eating looks like. So one of them I had to do was like literally eating a cracker. And in my head, I thought, well, how do normal people eat a cracker? But you have to be excited. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Do I get excited when I eat a cracker? What is my excited face? Oh, but not too excited. Normal excited. What's normal excited? Right? Going. And then I said, whatever, obviously.
That was the first thing we learned in school. During our film class, they said it's called the yum take.
Oh.
And as a first precursor, they put the camera on us, they gave us a Dorito, and they said, eat this and enjoy it. And we're all like, you know, and then we're all theater kids, you know, we're like, I don't know, it tastes good, you know? He's like, why are you doing so much? You literally just have to eat it. And actually just enjoy it. And it's hard. So to your point, you don't think about it until you have to do it. And then you're like, wow, I have to eat on camera and not look like a cow. You know, you like chewing cud, you know,
especially, I can't even imagine these burger ones. I'm like, or food, you know, I found during the pandemic that food that shouldn't be finger food has become finger food. So when I'm told to audition with it, I go, I don't know how to eat this like a human anymore. So I'm just going to. Just don't include me on food commercials. Let's just call it what it is.
That's a legitimate concern, I think. In fact, you've got me thinking so much that I think later I'm going to just for fun turn the camera on myself and do a yum take just to see if I still got it.
Oh my after goodness, my please share
$45,000 education in American funds. I just got to give her a whirl.
It's like a commercial for your acting school that you went to.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
what your education will get you.
In a slow motion, like yum take. that'll kill it, I'm sure. Oh, lots of people will sign up for that school. Yeah,
and everyone's looking for the yum factor. It's a new thing.
Oh,
do you have it? Obviously. Do you have what it takes?
Food is a racket, man. It's such a huge business. Most of the auditions, I think, are like food commercials or commercials with food in them. You know, it's such a common theme. It seems. Look, I'm watching a commercial right now, and there's food in it, and they're like chopping stuff.
Thank you for having the TV on when we're chatting. I feel very valued.
You know, I'm always on the lookout. I'm like, will they replay a commercial I was in? Like begging, praying, please.
That gets exciting.
I always have the TV on
to play it, right?
Or how long. Yeah.
And my husband's so great. He's always on the lookout for this stuff. He always finds my commercials. Like he goes, oh, it's on this website. I'm like, why is it on that website? It wasn't supposed to be a web. You know what I mean? He just knows how to find it.
So, get your money. Get your money. Nice. That's a good manager slash husband.
Okay. They paid me the one-time fee. I will never get paid again. We only
crap.
For 10 years. That kind of
right.
Thing.
Yeah. Sorry about
Fun
that. Yeah.
Issue. It is what it is.
It shouldn't be that way, but.
I know. That's the thing. And I find that very interesting with where the commercials are headed for union versus non-union right now. That's a very interesting discussion, but I don't have enough information. You can chime in if you'd like. I just don't feel like I have enough information.
Really briefly, basically there are union and non-union actors, and the union actors are under an umbrella called ACTRA, and the ad agencies are under an ICA and ACA agreement. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but that's their governing body. And I guess basically their governing body is trying to fight for us to have lower pay, our benefits taken away, which is ridiculous because if you think about like any corporate ad agency or major brand, like, you know, they make millions and gajillions of dollars. So to make it more affordable for them to make commercials, it's just like, I don't think you really have that problem. There's so many great like attestations to, like, you know, there's somebody who wrote something. Maybe I shouldn't quote it. Maybe I shouldn't quote it outside of where it's originally.
There is an anonymous Instagram account right now that shares people's stories that I thought was really great. Again, I understand the need to be anonymous, but
yeah,
I
absolutely.
Thought that was nice to give people a voice to why they're frustrated and they're concerned, because who do you talk to about this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty sticky situation. Basically, it's I haven't had an audition in weeks because of it, because they're using more non-union talent, which is great for non-union actors right now, but in the long run, it kind of shoots them in the foot as well. So, I mean, it's such a sticky, long story, but if anybody's interested in looking it up, I'm sure if you Google or go to ACTRA's website, I'm sure that there's information there that you can read more about, especially if you're into, like, the benefits of unions and how unions protect you and how unions are often like gone against. So this is a classic case of, you know, trying to bust up a union, which
is
never
so hard because actors would do commercials to become part of the union. Right. And I believe that is no longer an option unless I'm mistaken. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay. I don't know. I'm like, I don't want to share false information. That was my understanding why part of it was an issue, but I could be wrong. And that's why you should check out the website.
Yeah, definitely check out the website if you're interested in any of that. Yeah. Yeah.
In case the job wasn't hard enough, here's some fun stuff.
I know. So what else is going on over there? What do you got coming up on the anything coming up for you acting wise?
I decided to create this pilot. I want to talk to we're supposed to film something in a couple of days. You know when you kind of keep writing something? Do you have a writing partner?
I've had writing partners. Yeah. I don't have like somebody I'm permanently writing with, but
no, that's fair. So one of my friends I met from Second City, we've been trying to write something and I keep changing, you know, I have a vision and it keeps changing. I go, how can we do this? So my background is also I'm a physiotherapist and I used to finger people for a living, ha ha ha, pelvic floor physio, insert joke, all that jazz. But I wanted to get that information across in some kind of way. So I have no idea what it's going to be. We might just improv the whole thing and kind of see where it lands. So that'll be kind of a first, very, very low budget filming. The editing will be fun, which is always a journey for me.
Yeah, when you improv, it's like the most impossible task because nothing really matches or pairs up and it's hard to cut things. And
yeah, so that's,
but no, you're on to something with the improv because I did at one point write a play with my friend Erin Thompson, who went on to write award-winning shows afterwards. She's an incredible writer. We wrote a play called Bitch, a Cathartic Purge, based on a true story. And the way we wrote it was, all true stories about horrible men in our lives at the time. Well, they weren't in our lives at the time. I should caveat that. They were in our past. I'll put put it that way. Erin and I met at Second City. Anytime we would get up together at Second City, you know, like you click with people, right? Her and I, like, you cannot fail. If the two of us got up together, we would not fail. Like, it was just symbiotic in every way. And she got me, like, she just got me and I got her. And, like, I could kind of see where she was going with certain things, even though you're not supposed to pre-plan. But, like, you can kind of get a gist. And, you know, we just really clicked and started writing together. And the way we wrote Bitch was we improvised each scene. And then we sat down after the scene and we said, okay, what was it we achieved through that improv? Like, what were the themes that came up? What was the action that came up that led us to the next scene? And so we started to more like finesse it into a script. So that's a really great way, especially because you did Second City for a reason. It frees up your edit. It's supposed to free up the editing that happens and shouldn't happen while you write.
The problem is, I want to say I did it because it looks good on a resume, but you know.
Well, we all did, but then we're like, oh, I actually got something out of this.
It's like I had done. You find your people, right? Who gets
you
your
find career. Your people, but it also is super useful. Like, I had done improv in school, and I was like, I already did improv. I don't need to do it again. You need to do it again. You need to do it forever because improv is like, if you stop, I'm sorry, there's people who are just like genuinely amazing at it. But for people who had to learn and like really work at it, if you stop, you suck. You suck again when you try and start again because it is a muscle and your mind needs to be firing so fast. And it's your mind is a muscle. So if you don't work it out, you know. Then you have really crappy. Needs.
This is all improv. You never know what's going to happen, right?
Exactly.
Will the chat just stop? I don't know. Okay.
Well, sometimes it does, and that's normal, right? They say every 7 minutes or something. Like usually in conversation, you go silent, and there's like a complete shift. And I think if you rewatch this, you'll probably see that.
Challenge accepted. I'm going to keep talking. Okay, 30.
Yeah.
Got till 37. Same time.
Do you want to know? Okay. Interestingly enough, like recently, I did this I often like worry about my memory. I think it's a common fear for anybody who does theater. Like if you've ever gone up on lines on stage and have been in that moment where you're like, oh God, what's the next line, you know? And you're looking like frantically at your scene partner, like, please help me. You know, that happened to me like a couple summers ago and it shook me enough that I was really curious what is going on and you know, if there's something I need to be thinking about. So I did a cognitive test.
Ooh, did you do a mini mocha?
What's that?
Oh, these are just different tests you can do to test your brain.
Oh, okay. No, I did it through the doctors at Sunnybrook. So it was like a legit, like crazy, like it was a long test of like puzzles and stuff. And I was
they
like,
they say the three words to you and then you have to remember the three words?
Three. They gave me like 25 words.
Oh my God. I just and had to like to people. That's my issue with those tests. I am not listening to you. I am not in the moment. So that's not my memory. That's just me being a bad human. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Do you do that in acting? Do you do that too? Like you don't listen and you're not in the moment?
Look, I would say that people will have the best conversations with me during these chats because I am 100% focused listening to you. Otherwise, I'm multitasking. I'm in my head. I don't know what's going on. You know? So yes, I probably do that with acting. Because there's so much thing about it. When the camera's on you, you can't just be doing the scene. Where's your mark? Continuity, right? There's so much going on that you can't just be in the scene, in my opinion.
I think that just comes from us not being in front of the camera enough.
Yeah.
When you do it for like an entire season of a show, you're fine. You're like, oh God, okay, we're on set. Let's do this. You know,
you probably don't even realize it. There is something to the, All right, so like, I'm not a series regular. Okay, no worries.
Like, I had a good year where I booked a lot of commercials, and I definitely started to notice, which is so relieving. I noticed that, like, you do get really comfortable, and you do start to contribute more because you're comfortable, right?
That's
and therefore,
true.
It's more natural, and you get a better performance. It's just, it goes with the territory. But, you know, there are many years where I go where I'm just like, okay, I've been on camera 3 times in the year for a day, you know? So it's like, how much experience do I actually get? And this is why teachers are like, well, take a class. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not even remotely the same. There's like technicians and lights and camera and makeup people doing your makeup and people saying, hold this prop and, you know, make your mark. And there's 17 other people you have to act with. And, you know, it's
what
just...
I actually, as we're talking, I want to literally create a class to be camera ready. I want people to pay me a ton of money. And I want it to be, they literally just stand in a room for 6 hours. They get up, they have 10 seconds on camera, and then they're done. And that is the class. That is literally your
hurry up and wait, baby. Hurry up and wait. That's basically it, right? Like, and sometimes you're like, in your head, you're like, that was the worst take ever. And they're like, we love it. Great. Kate, moving on. And I'm like, are you sure? I'm pretty sure, like, I did the shittiest take ever.
I don't, but the more I try and work behind the scenes, the more I realize we are actors. I mean, it seems shitty to say because we're working so hard, but we're relatively insignificant in a way. Because yes, we have a good look. Yes, we can deliver the lines, mazel tov, great. But there's so many other factors that are at play that we aren't aware of. So just literally show up, do your thing. Even if you don't feel it's great, it's probably way better than you think it is. And that's all they need. You know?
Yeah, because they know they're going to cut away and it's just going to be this much of it, you know, and it's not a big deal. Like, what are you doing behind the scenes right now?
I was just helping out with, I learned what a second AD was. So I helped with a slate. That is hard.
Okay? It's much harder than you think, eh? Like labeling everything. Which take is this?
It's not even the labels. The how do I slam this? Because I'm right in front of this guy's face. You got to do the soft slates. Then you got to do the louder slates. Then it's not loud. I got to hold it steady. But how am I holding it steady? What's the angle?
The angle. Who knew? Because, yeah, like, little things people don't realize, like, are just so intricate, you know? Everybody is so important, an important cog in the machine.
Really?
And really to observe what everybody does on a set, and it's, like, controlled chaos, and nobody seems stressed. They probably are, but they do an excellent job at just, like, not, like, imposing that on each other, I find. I mean, at least from my perception of what I'm observing.
And that's the thing too. I think there was also, I don't know if the word is grip. The person that just does everything and moves stuff around, whatever that was, I'm moving stuff around and to set up the lighting and make sure it is exact. That is exhausting. Cause as an actor, I'm like, what is taking them so long? As behind the scenes, I go, guys, it is a process. I'm tired. We keep trying to get that perfect angle here. There's sandbags, there's heights we have to adjust.
Yes. When we first were in lockdown and everybody was buying like lighting kits and stuff for self tapes, I bought soft boxes, which was a huge mistake.
Oh,
huge mistake, because
that?
When you're in an apartment and you don't have distance,
it's not good.
And I have a window that brings in light, so it can never be set the same. It was always this, like, very, and you either look really orange, really washed out, and it was, like, a nightmare to set up self-tapes. Finally, I relented and bought a ring light, and I look like every other ghost auditioning. But, like, the softboxes are great if you can get them, like, down, but my God. And this is what people on set are working with, basically really, really high-quality softboxes. And they're, like, lighting outside and inside, putting up all these reflectors, and, like, it's just, it's crazy. And then they're lighting off your coloring, which also alters things. So it's just, like, a whole other, it's an insane process. So I definitely have to agree with you there. But
I like to not, I would have loved to not know the terms, because if I was being called hot on set, I would have been like, thank you. But instead, there's just
your face is all blown out.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh my gosh, thank you. I'm having a good hair day.
Just keep that for yourself. If you need to process it that way for your own ego, do it. Nobody needs to know. Whatever makes you feel good, sis.
That's true. Yeah. I'll keep thinking that. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you up to? I realized that I felt like, am I being interviewed? I don't like being interviewed.
Okay. Yeah, that's the best kind of interview. I don't know, nothing right now. I'm not the type of person, like, everybody tells me I should do this, should do that. And I'm,
oh yeah,
it's
okay,
very flattering because there are things that I've always sort of secretly wanted to do in a way, but not like in practice. Like, for instance, I have friends telling me to do stand up. And I'm like,
I thought you had already. You're funny.
That's terrifying. Like, but this is the thing. Like, it's terrifying to me.
Okay, wait. Is the conversation, hey, you're funny, you should do stand up? Is that how the conversation goes with your friends?
Yeah. And I'm like, Do you realize the minute, like, being funny is really, I think, is a testament to my friendships. People get the best out of me when they're awesome people. I think it's just a reflection back of the person I'm speaking to. So if I go up on stage and just start talking about funny things, I'm like, no, it won't work. That's not how Tracy works. You know, I work off energy and people and their reception of me, you know? So I feel like if I went up on a stage, there's no guarantees. There's no controlled variables. Like, you'll have the audience heckling you and I'll be like, why are you being so mean? Don't be mean. You know, I don't know why I would say that.
I mean, with that, I don't.
You can be yourself on stage. Like, isn't that the most terrifying thing?
I mean, I don't know if I'm ever truly myself anywhere except, like, in the privacy of my space, because I, like, and it's like an existential crisis that I'm sharing with the chat. But I think it's interesting. I feel like I have that on stage persona that as soon as I'm on, and, like, that's why I find it interesting, because you have that theater background. As soon as I'm on a stage, you will get my on stage persona. No matter what, because, like, with theater, stuff goes wrong or whatever, like, random cabaret stuff doesn't work and you just go with it, right? Even an improv show on the stage, you go, okay, let's figure this out. I know that improv is not like stand-up, because I remember doing stand-up and I thought, I can improv this. I was very wrong. Don't do that. Be prepared.
Don't.
It was bad.
Yeah, there's a different definite formula to joke writing that kind of essential to follow for the first little while, at least.
One of my new friends told me, I love that, I have a new friend, next guest on the podcast, but he said, write out your whole story, because it's like a storytelling joke, whatnot, then get rid of anything that is taking away from getting to the joke. And I thought that was such a great piece of advice.
Yeah, because your mind could be going and going and going. You're like, you know what, just get it out of your brain onto a page.
Yeah.
See what it is as a total, like a total package. And then, pare it back to bare bones, like the essentials, right? But, like, Robin, what you were saying about, like, you are a certain way on stage, and
that is
a style, and that is totally okay. For me, the things I find that work for me when I watch stand-up or I watch improv is the people who are most themselves as a base, like, before they, like, superimpose a character or whatever, tend to get the best reception.
Oh, true.
You know,
okay.
They tend to be the funnier ones. You relate to them more because they're being genuinely, like, who they are, and unapologetically so.
Here's a question. Do you think, in this day and age, people can unapologetically be themselves?
I think more than ever, yes.
Here's what would be terrible. You're doing something, you're unapologetically yourself, and then you're getting canceled, or people don't resonate. And, like, that, I think that's the persona we create to not have that feeling, right? To not have that, people don't like the actual real me that I'm hesitant to share because it won't resonate with people. But I think
there's a fine line.
Like, I don't know.
You don't want to be offensive or cruel, or do you know what I mean? I feel like if people are going to cancel you for being a genuinely normal, kind person who's not being offensive and horrible in any way, I feel like that's on them, you know? Like, if you're just being you and they don't like, and I think, you know, I'm a little older than you, and I think it comes with age as well. Like, this age is just a number. The older you get, the more you realize that. And I really empathize with folks who are older than me and continually say, I just hate the way I'm treated because of the way I look. And I'm like, oh my God, I get it. I'm starting to have little glimpses of that. But I think with age, the beauty is you do become more unapologetically yourself. And it's easier to be yourself. And oh my God, does it ever eliminate a lot of extra stress and bullshit in your life? Let me tell you, because
But
the people who are
why
meant
with the
to be with
age,
you,
though? Yeah.
why with age? Because
Why?
we just more, like, you know, the more you rehearse life, the more you realize, like, it's just easier to be yourself and to stop apologizing for being who you are. And, you know, if the people who like you will stick by you, and the people who don't, they were never your friends anyway, right? So you're eliminating a lot of the things that suck your energy that aren't meant to be for you. You know, that which is meant for you will come to you. And especially when you're being your honest self, I feel like that's like when things really start to flourish, for
I think
sure.
that's so important too, right? Because as actors, I mean, at least how I felt was, what do they want me to be, right? And you go, well, good luck with that, because sometimes they don't even know, right? Production, casting, no one really knows. So if you're literally just going in as yourself, this is who I am, no one else can do that because no one else is you. And I
I
say
think
this, you know, it's easier to say than like.
casting always gives us clues, though. They always say, we want to see you. We want to see you. They even say it like with headshots. And I know headshots are like one of those things that really.
Your
One of
headshot
my
looks very much like you. I'm very
It's one of
happy.
my pet
Yes.
peeves, okay, about
I know.
headshots. Yeah,
I can
because
tell
I
it's
went,
the whole rant.
there's so many great headshot photographers in this city. They're so good at what they do. The problem is, I feel like you gotta look like you. You
Yeah.
gotta look why did I wear my hair up in my headshot? Because I always wear my freaking hair up. It's
Yeah.
never down, so it annoys me. It grows in a weird way. I hate it's in my face. So this is me. Hair is up, you know? I'm not gonna do those fake curl things that look freaking gorgeous, by the way. But like, I never do my hair that way, ever, ever, ever. So like, when they really are begging us to be as authentically us
Yeah.
as possible, they know that the picture's not going to be the character. Like, they know it's just a picture of you. It's
Yeah.
showing who you are. It's showing your energy. That's why they have us do those slate shots where they see you in motion for a half a second just to get your vibe and your energy, because they want to know who you are. What do you bring to the table?
I want to watch yours. I took notes now.
Oh,
I hate them.
it's oddly sassy. It's oddly
I can see
sassy.
that. Okay.
But like, I'm not a sassy lady. I would think I'm more goofy, but like the slate shot is from like an old headshot I had, where I had a t-shirt that said New Jersey, only the strong survive. And so for some reason I thought I should channel New Jersey. I did live in New Jersey. It was hell. But anyway, so the slate shot ended up like the sassier side of Tracy, but it's not authentically me. It's not who I am.
Oh.
So I definitely need to redo that, but
Well, that's why we're having this chat. I expect you have homework. You have to have the
I
yum
do.
factor and a
That's
slate shot.
right.
For those of you who don't know, on Actors Access, you along with your picture, you can do like a 7-second video of you essentially just saying your name. So then people, I've heard a lot of casting people like that. So
They do,
good
because
casting. Yeah.
it's amazing what you can get from somebody just saying their name.
I know, that's why I get so stressed with it. Oh my God. I'm like, oh God. What's my name? How do I am I spelling it? Robin. It's Robin with a Y. Not that it's relevant.
How do you
Okay.
pronounce your name, Robin, your full name? How do you pronounce it?
But Robin Deverett?
Yes, I believe you should be calling yourself Robin Devere.
I get Deveret a lot. That's
Robin
cool.
Devere. It's like the Golden
That'll be the
Girls.
alternative, right? Like
Yes,
Robin
hello.
Deveret.
Like you'll get so much more work.
It's
I
just so hard to take it seriously, where I'm like, this is just
know.
me saying my name, so I want to do different versions. Like, maybe I'll throw in an accent, maybe I'll do a different language. And that's what I do. And shockingly, it doesn't resonate.
And people wonder why actors have problems. I'm like, look at the stuff that like vexes us. Look at this conversation. Like, it's like
Well,
ridiculous.
you give me options, right? As soon as you're like, say your name, but how? Here you
Yeah.
go, singing my name, it's
Yeah.
Robin. Okay, yeah.
But they hate that shit. They just want you to say your goddamn name so that they don't
I
like
know.
lose who it is that, you know,
Well,
but
they want to
there's
hear what do you sound like, right? That's really
yeah.
important because,
Yeah. It's a
and they can
chance
hear
to be
that.
you again. Just be you. Just be you.
I don't know. I'm gonna, again, if I ever record that again and overcome the fear of the slate shot, because I watched those recently. I go, wow, those were terrible. That's a deterrent to booking me or auditioning me.
Yeah, I mean,
That's not even that's not me being hard on myself. That was legitimately horrific. So,
oh, was it? You managed to fail miserably at it.
I'm trying so hard to say my name. I go, why am I trying so
hard? It's crazy.
Painful to watch.
Speaking of name, do you realize how little in a day people actually say your name?
I know, like, because my husband never calls me by my name, and it's very weird. So when he calls me by my name, I go, did I do something wrong? I don't know. What's happening?
I like it, though. It definitely does something to the brain where when you hear your name, it's like...
It's no Tracy. But then I said it weird, didn't I? Tracy.
It's okay.
No, I can't.
You know, my real name isn't Tracy. That's a good conversation. My real name is Teresa, which is Italian. And I remember when I went to kindergarten for the first time, like the first day where, you know, your parents walk you in.
Right.
The teacher said my name, Teresa. And my mom was like, no, that won't do. No. She's like, you may call her Tracy if you're going to like anglify it. So from that day forward, I was Tracy Beltrano. But my real name, my legal name is Teresa Catherine. I know, isn't it? But like, I've never changed my name. Tracy's not my legal name. It's just my stage name.
But would you use it as an actor now? Would you go by?
Well, no, because
Well, people know you.
Italians aren't played by Italians. They're played by Scottish people. So
the whole conversation is how I feel about Jewish people. No one's playing this. So, Jews aren't playing Jews. What is that? Okay.
I mean, you know, so I just, what's the point, really?
Yeah.
People, I think, know I'm Italian. They can probably tell just based on my energy.
Italian. Yeah, an Italian energy. I feel it. I feel it.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's what it, when we were chatting outside that Fringe show, and I was just, my favorite conversation of the Fringe, okay, I can't say favorite, but like top three easily.
Yeah.
Was
just top
you.
Three.
Yeah, top three. Not like that's the thing. I had a lot of conversations. I like talking. But it was you just unapologetically being yourself and like sharing thoughts. And it was so lovely because it wasn't, I hope this doesn't offend you. I have a thought. I don't know if I should say it. And you're just like, here, guys, let's discuss. I'm like,
brutal. Brutal.
But
you know, that could go horribly drastically wrong when you preface with saying, I hope this doesn't offend you. I'm an asshole. Listen. I have so many curiosities. I just have so many genuine, like, childlike curiosities. But really, I should do the work. I should really do the work and not have to ask people to answer the questions for me. But I guess sometimes in the spirit of conversation, I'm just like, I really want to say that. My impulse is to say this now. I feel it will be well received by whoever I'm speaking to. So obviously, again, a testament to who I'm speaking to, that I feel I can have a candid conversation where I'm asking questions. And I think it was about Judaism that we were talking about.
Yeah,
I have a genuine curiosity, like, since I was a kid. So, but I also apologized after, do you remember? Because I was like, you and Jada were having such an amazing conversation. And there I go, inserting my dumb ass into your conversation while you guys are having this, like, lovely chat. You know, sometimes I insert myself and I'm like, no, Tracy. Just stop and listen and shut your yam.
Oh my God, Tracy, this is what fascinates me about a conversation. That's how you viewed it. And I just thought, look at Tracy asking questions. I had no problem with it, you know? And I love how everyone perceives a conversation differently. I thought, Tracy, because I felt like, oh no, me and Jada are having a conversation. Shout out to Jada Rifkin, by the way. She's awesome. But we're having a conversation. Oh no, Tracy's not included. I felt terrible, like me playing my Jewish geography game or whatever we were doing. Yeah, because, you know, we all seem to know each other. But it's a very interesting true fact. So, yeah.
That's interesting because I'm also very cognizant of when there's like a trifecta, who is included, and I try to include everybody as well. And, you know, it's okay to have a conversation between any two people in a trifecta and not include the third, because the third is included by listening and being present, right? So we need to get that out of our heads that is excluding somebody. And the person who is that third person needs to just sometimes know that it's not personal in any way, shape, or form, that you are a part of this conversation because we chose to stand here with you and have this conversation, you know?
I think
I need to stop that for myself. I need to stop injecting myself and listen more. Like, that's definitely something I need to work on.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that we could have this conversation for self-growth. But But it's hard. I mean, it's so hard because I'm used to like building on something. Like we're talking and like, yes, and let's keep this conversation going. Let's build it further. So I don't think there's anything. And I think if people have an issue with it, they should say something. But I'm also know a lot of people that don't say something and then they leave and they're mad at you. So it is what it is. But I had such a Larry David moment because I was sitting in between you and Jada and we're just sitting on this random, I don't know, bench of
cement
stone.
Block.
Cement block. That sounds better than bench of stone. And then I thought there was this Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where he says, there's a lot of responsibility for someone sitting in the middle. And I was like, oh no, I'm the middle. Okay. How do I see it? So that's part of what came into my head as soon as I sat in the middle, like, oh man, I really committed to the middle.
I
gotta keep this conversation going. That's why
I love it. Do you feel like that's how maybe a politician feels that way? Like having to, be in the middle, like between the people and between, you know, their colleagues and remaining in office or in power. I don't know. I would hate to be a politician. I'd rather be a dictator. Maybe I should direct. Okay. I mean, directing has always been a dream of mine, to be honest with you.
I'm actually surprised you haven't directed yet.
I think you would stand.
So here's the question. Would you be amenable to other people collaborating or would you be very gung-ho? This is the vision.
I'm going to be honest. When I have a vision, it's very, very strong and very specific. There's definitely room for like things to evolve as things are put out in practice because things change, right? And people bring things to the table, like actors bring things to the table. But when I watch the shows or people auditioning or, you know, I watch them and I'm like, oh my God, you are so good. I wish we could just do it this way so that we get all of it, you know, like, oh God, just like the beginning, the middle, the end, the moment before is so important before you start speaking, that moment before you open your mouth. If I can hammer that home to anybody, that moment before and the moment after is like, you can fuck up the middle all you want, but if you have honest moments in the beginning and end, oh my God. It's just amazing to watch, you know, because you know if they can do those moments, you can direct them. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I've directed self-tapes for my friends and there's nothing. I'll spend 3 hours for you to get your best tape because I love directing. And if you have the energy, I will sit with you as long as you want until we get the best take. You know, I really love it. I love directing. I see it in them and I want to bring it out of them, you know?
What happens if, like, are there only specific people you would work with? Because sometimes I wonder if I coach someone for 5 hours, would they even get there? You know what I mean? Have you ever felt that
They'll
way?
They'll definitely be in a better place
They'll
than
be
they
a better
were.
Place, but I think me, I'm like, I want them to be here and they're not getting there.
Right. And imagine when you were a kid and wanted to act and somebody friggin' took the time out of their lives to like get you where you are today. Like I had so many helpers along the way, so many great people give me time and give me attention and see things in me and harness those things and teach me how to bring those things out of myself. And oh my gosh, I have so many people to thank. So, you know, I'm not a great actor. I'm as good as I am right now. I still have room for improvement, right? So I'm still going to be meeting people who will bring those things out of me. And I feel also when I direct or coach, like when I have little chances to do it, I do feel like I learn a ton by doing it, by like being on the other side, you know? So they're also my teacher. Some mutually beneficial thing, you know? I know it sounds cliche, but I think it's a genuine cliche, you know, like that it's not only are you teaching, but you're being taught at the same time. So
if you're receptive to it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so important too, is being open to learning. And I think if you, as opposed to going, no, I'm where I am in my career. I don't need to grow. I'm there. I've made it. And
choose to grow is another story, right? Like I feel like kind of burned out of like classes. I'm burned out.
Yeah.
Like I see that. I don't want to go to another class. That sounds horrible, but like, I'm over it. I've done a lot of freaking classes and I really just need to learn a different way now. And I was talking to Marcus about like things I could do. You know, I was like, well, I used to dance. I used to sing. I used to, you know, I used to be really interested in mask work, clown work, things like that. All of those things feed, you know, whatever creative thing we end up doing, right? So I'm like, maybe I should start parlaying things into other things again, like other aspects of acting, you know, or just practice more, like somehow find a way to just get up and do stuff. You know, I have the tools. I just need to implement them over and over and over until they become part of who I am, part of my essence without thinking about it. Because like you said earlier in our conversation, it's like sometimes you get there and you're just like, I have to be on my mark. My hair is in my face. All these stupid things you shouldn't be worrying about because you don't have the experience in front of the camera to be able to get that out of your head, you know? So, yeah, we need more of those, like, opportunities as actors to just work.
Here's my question then with that. Everyone has a phone now, right? We're having this conversation. So what's stopping people from just literally putting themselves on camera every day? I know what's stopping me. I'm lazy and I just don't want to do it sometimes. I'm like, same. I have makeup. No way. But that's like, we have so many tools that we can just stay with it. I think it's just such a hard thing to wrap around my head from starting out, you know, as a child actor or whatever, to now I can literally create every day. And I find that so overwhelming when I'm not creating a goal. I should be creating, you know, like, why am I not creating? What's my excuse? Because if I want to do this, I can do this. You see people becoming famous for putting stuff on TikTok, right? That's not my path. I don't understand TikTok. I'll keep trying, but it's painful. Don't watch my stuff.
Yeah, I'm not really
a fan. I don't know what I'm doing. It's very bad.
Yeah.
This isn't being critical. This is legitimately, it doesn't resonate. I move on. But with that, like, there are so many different ways to reach people and find the people that are your audience. And I remember this instructor said to me, I can't wait to meet your audience. I thought, oh, really resonated with me. I'd love to know who my audience is, you know, that kind of, yeah. What am I doing that resonates with people and what should I keep doing? But also I'm really trying to take a step back now and think, what do I want to put out there? Right.
Yes.
Because I'm really glad that
you have a choice too. You have a say.
And that's what's really, and I know a lot of my friends that are creating content and being really successful, they sometimes get trapped because this is what their public wants, but they don't necessarily want to keep creating that. And I think that's a sticky situation too. So,
and there's always that fear.
Yeah.
Because ad agencies and, you know, major productions will do a massive Google search on you, yeah, and see what you're like, what are you presenting yourself as? You know, like, what are you putting out there? It's terrifying. Like your Instagram, your Facebook, your Twitter, your every TikTok, everything. Like, you could book a major brand commercial as a spokesperson, mm-hmm, and then they're like, no, we're dropping you because you posted something controversial or retweeted a tweet on Twitter that is a little too political. And they don't want you as their spokesperson. And you just missed out on like a salaried job as an actor for 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is like heaven for us, you know, creating content and doing all that is great. And obviously like that would help fulfill some of those like gaps in work, but like, it's always that fear. Like, what if it's not well received? And what if it's something that shoots me in the foot, you know? I don't know. And I think for me, I really am a person who loves being employed by other people. I'm not much to create my own stuff. Like, I really enjoy being cast in a play or being cast in a TV show, or, you know, like, I don't need to be creating these things. I know my gifts are in the acting, not in the creation. So yeah, that's kind of why I don't do it personally. Like, if friends ask me to be in their thing, I'm always like, yeah, sure, man. I'll be in your thing. Thanks for writing it, because I'm lazy. Yeah. You know,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's knowing what you like to do, right? And I actually commend you, because I have a problem if I'm like, I want to create something and no one's creating it. So then I try and create it and I'm exhausted. So you keep doing you.
You're exhausted because we all have a million other jobs. We're not just acting. We can't just survive on acting here right now as it is, you know, like, I have four other freaking jobs, five other jobs. So what do I have left at the end of the day? Sometimes just enough energy to cook a meal and maybe like do something physical with my body, like walk around the block or something. Like, that's sometimes all I have left. Yeah. And to act is exhausting. It's not as simple as turning the camera on self and just like record something. It's a whole thing. It's setting up so it's like looks good, setting your lighting, getting your makeup and hair, memorizing a script, getting a scene partner to read with you, then just to do it is like kind of fruitless. Then you want feedback on it from a friend or somebody you trust. Like, it's a process. It's not just like, let's just put stuff on tape, you know?
Yeah.
It's a whole process. So I can see why it's, you know, not getting done like vigorously by actors.
Tracy, I've never seen this before. I'm literally getting a countdown from Instagram that we have 20 seconds left. I've never seen this.
We've exhausted our time.
I this has never happened. At least I know, and it doesn't randomly cut off because I want to keep talking to you. So,
it was such a pleasure, though. I had so much fun.
I love. Thank you for sharing all that you shared, everyone. Thank you for watching. And
thank you, everybody.
Yeah, and thank you for future watchers. And talk soon.